This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, and we have a three-hour banger lined up today among our guests. How about the timing today of Dr. David Chow in 30 minutes?
Perfect.
We wanted to talk a little like off-season NFL. Like, are we sure Mahomes is going to be ready for week one? What about his week one opponent in Bo Nix? And then you have all of these injuries in the NBA, and I think that he has a strong opinion on a lot of them. We'll get his take on that coming up in a half an hour. A heart attack is not stopping Tony Rizzo. He recently had one. ESPN Cleveland legend. He's on the show in 1 hour. Jonathan Davis, hockey bets. Julian Edlow on the NBA. Steve Wiss. Pauly has a... before the show, he had a tear coming down his eye because it's the last weekend of the prim. And Wiss is going to come on today to talk about best bets.
Not to mention the Southampton fiasco. Now Hall is saying we shouldn't have to play anybody. We should automatically go up. Now they're going to court.
Sure, why not?
It's ridiculous. It's an incredible story.
But the saving grace is it's a World Cup year. So that's right around the corner. Okay, so last night, another doozy of a game. It's unfortunate, and I'm saying that as somebody who's holding a Spurs to win the West future ticket. I don't want these injuries, man. And I'm not just talking, obviously not from the Spurs. I don't want the Thunder to be banged up.
Yes, we do. I can't stand this team.
What?
I can't take it. Hold on.
You agreed with me yesterday when I said you're not allowed to have Spurs-Thunder fatigue over the next 5 years.
But it goes back to the calls they get, though, as well. Have you ever seen what Hartenstein's allowed to get away with?
Well,
who grabs somebody's arm while he's trying to play defense and you're away from the ball? Well, and you're like pulling him over away from the basket. Then he pulls Castle's hair, not to mention the SGA with the forearm shiver every time he... It's unbelievable what this team gets away with, and they're flat out dirty.
Yeah, so this is what I don't understand about the NBA. Why is it that we come in here on a daily basis and the referees are a story? That's the part that I can't stand about the league. I say that like almost tongue-in-cheek, but it's like 75% of the time.
Well, they did a great job in game one.
Last night, Paul.
Mitch, they're hard to officiate. I mean, multiple coaches have said it. They foul every play.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how is it that Victor, here's all this talk about Victor Wembanyama, and again, he's playing at this level that we've never seen before. How is it that Isaiah Hartenstein gets away with murder against Wemby last night? How?
Yeah.
Make that make sense when it's right in front of them, below the basket, seemingly every single time those two guys are on the court together.
Yep.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, I retweeted Bill Simmons. We both thought he was unplayable in this series, but if he's allowed to maul and grab jerseys and grab hair and grab arms, then I guess he's playable now. So you would think the face of the league, that wouldn't be allowed. I know if it was Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, it wouldn't be allowed. But again, they're the Seattle Seahawks. Going back where they're going to hold every play. They foul every possession. Are you going to call it? How many times are you going to call it? I don't know what's going to happen with the injuries. I don't know when Williams can come back. That's a big blow.
That's not looking good.
But still, the San Antonio cannot beat themselves. You are now, that is 55 points off of turnovers so far in the series for the Thunder. Castle has a record of 20 turnovers himself in the first two games. He's also 2 of 12 from three. Cut it out.
Yeah,
well, attack the basket. Come on. You just can't turn the ball over like that and just give them points and you go down and just have nothing and get nothing out of these possessions where you're careless with the ball over and over again. Through three quarters, it was 23 OKC points off 18 San Antonio turnovers. Right. They could have won that game too.
But I got news for you. If Fox is not going to come back, and that's a high ankle, and again, we'll talk to the good doctor coming up in about 25 minutes. You couple that now with the Harper hamstring, which doesn't sound good to me anyway, and this ferocious Thunder defense anyway. They're loaded with guards, and they got a ton of depth. The betting angle here, and I talked about this on the show yesterday. Now, I bet three different guys. One of them won. Two of them lost. Had I played every other guy, like, basically on the team, it would have been a gigantic night. I think the betting takeaway here is this. If De'Aaron Fox specifically is not going to play in Game 3 or any of these other games, you need to bet Oklahoma City players to go over their steal prop. Because what did we see last night? Jalen Williams got two immediately. Wallace had four. A.J. Mitchell had four. McCain is going to be a factor in this series because he will play if those other guards are out for San Antonio, and then they have to go to a guy like McLaughlin off the bench, whose big three in the first quarter gutted me last night.
Yep.
But that's my biggest takeaway, is that they're going to – the Spurs will absolutely turn the ball over against this defense, and you need to bet steal props. Here's what Hartenstein's not going to get away with. Dude, he's not getting away with that hack job in Texas.
No.
Going to San Antonio, it will be – the referees will 1,000% adjust in game three tomorrow night. So he'll get whistled, and it's very likely that he is going to go to the bench with early foul trouble if that's the case.
Yep. And if you're the Spurs, just send in all the clips to the league. Absolutely. McCain shot 14 times. Two players combined for 8 of the 14 steals, Wallace and Mitchell. And I'm back. I'll take Wallace in game three. But the other thing is, like, who's the guy you're going to try to stand out with assists or also points in addition to SGA, who was fantastic? You know, is it going to – because, like, Wallace, 4-plus assists was plus 350. Mm-hmm. Caruso, 5-plus assists was plus 750. Mitchell, 4-plus steals was 15-1. I do think, though, Fox has got to play. I think he's back game three.
You think so?
He was at shoot-around for both games, and then they rule him out. So I think there was a good chance he would have played if they had lost game one, that he was going to go out there. Now they definitely have to have him in game three with the Harper injury. But Chow also talked about how it's a unique ankle injury – with Fox 2 coming up. So they're up against it here, but I think he's got to play in game three, and he's a guy who's 18-6-4 on the season. He has got to fix that and cut it out, and I think the nonsense with Castle will stop then too once you get Fox back.
Well, yeah, so then it's probably not worth sprinkling on a ton of different guys for Oklahoma City if Fox is back. That's a play if he doesn't go.
Yeah.
Now also, like, what do we make of the current point spread in game three? I mean, Harper, how does Harper play? I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. But that's a lot of respect for the Spurs. They're two at Caesars. But if you've watched the whole series, I think you can come back and just say they're the better team. And OKC season was on the line. But if you keep handing them points and possessions, you're going to get beat. And SGA had to show up and play like the MVP in order to do that. He was awesome. He was 12 of 24 and had 30 points, and he saved them too. So I don't expect Williams. I don't expect Harper, but I expect Fox back.
In
a revved-up arena, and I'm totally with you that those calls – will go against OKC now.
Yeah, they will. So I'm not as optimistic on Fox as you are, because the actual lingo turned into high ankle with him. And you know what high ankle, every time there's a high ankle sprain in the NFL, we're like, ooh, boy, that's going to be maybe a month. So if that high ankle is lingering and he can't go because of it, the Thunder absolutely must be favored in this game. Even though they're going to be without, I can't imagine Jalen Williams is going to play. I think he's probably done for a while here, the way it looks.
Well, who's scoring, though? I mean, if you have SGA, that's about it. You're not going to get that out of Hartenstein again.
Oh,
you're
going to
leave Caruso
from...
wide open. But, I mean, other than that, that's just you're losing your number two option here. And this guy had 40 points in the finals last year. Guy was awesome.
You'll get it from a combination of Caruso, Wallace, A.J. Mitchell, Chet Holmgren. Should have been an official play under 13.5 last night. How about that? Chet Holmgren was off the court for the final 3-plus minutes of the game, basically. Couldn't play him.
Yeah. That's like game one with the Knicks. Hart was benched. Shamet saved the day. Hart was minus 23 when he was on the floor. Shamet was plus 25.
Well.
Yeah, but you're right. But sometimes you get weird stuff that happens playoff time with matchups, too, as well. Yep. Great series.
Hell of a series so far.
But come on, man. So frustrating.
Well,
what are we doing here? We're pulling hair.
I know.
Multiple times he's pulling his arm, and he's trying to play defense, and it's right in front of everybody, and there's no call. And then they got lucky, too. Remember, they called that foul on Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. We never talked about this with what he did to Reeves, too. And Eddie Johnson called him out. He used to play for the Suns, and he's a broadcaster. When they come in, they hook your arm. He could have broke Reeves' arm when he did that in that series, too.
You're talking about SGA?
SGA, right. But they had to, Hartenstein hooked Wemby, like clamped down on him, and then they called that foul on Wemby. They had to challenge it to get and win it. That's the other thing. If I keep winning these challenges, I should get as many as I want.
Oh, my God.
It's outrageous.
Oh, my God. How about the foul on the flop on Harrison Barnes at the top of the key?
Oh, yes. Another good
one. That's all-time bad.
Yes.
And that three went down, by the way.
Yes.
That changes maybe everything right there.
Yes.
So that whistle, again, I think is going to correct itself big time. And here's another thing, too, to add on it. Wemby 7-5. He's kind of hard to miss.
Oh, I don't understand it. I know. Can you run something for him? It's not that hard. Just dump it down to the big guy and let him cook. He's just so damn big. I mean, they don't run enough plays for the guy.
No.
And watching out there, Castle turning the ball over time and time again.
Now, again, this is all injury dependent, but the game three angle here could be the Spurs are 11-0 straight up in ATS off of a loss dating back to mid-January. 11-0.
Yeah.
We saw it against the Wolves. They were automatic after a loss in that series.
Yeah. This is great theater.
You had that at the same time as the Golden Knights shocking the Avs, and Carter Hart this morning was still around 55-1 to win the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, they did a nice article on ESPN.com about the pecking order, and Marner's right up there as well.
Yeah.
He was great, though, as well. And all those shots, couldn't get anything going until late. Then the empty net goal shuts it down. So hopefully Makar's back in game two. They finally lose at home. I can't believe it. This team might go to the finals, and they were buried by Utah. I can't believe it.
It reminds me of the Glengarry, Glenn Ross scene with Alec Baldwin. Oh, do I have your attention now?
Yeah.
That's the Golden Knights sitting, hey, guys, we're pretty good over here.
Sure. Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? You fire your coach 3 weeks before the end of the season, and now they might work out for him.
That Makar injury, if he's not available, man, I don't want to overreact to one game. That seemed to be a pretty big deal last night.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the Knicks, Cavs, and Hurricanes, Canadians coming up next. And Cleveland Cavaliers coach Kenny Atkinson doubled down on James Harden. Hear what he had to say coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Thursday. We're live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. We wanted to bring on Dr. David Chow after the schedule was released and talk to him about, well, the week one opening night game is going to be between the Chiefs and the Broncos. Are we sure Mahomes and Knicks are going to be ready to go, which we'll get into. But now, perfect timing today with all of these injuries in the NBA, unfortunately. But the good doctor is on the Progressive Guest Line, like I mentioned. Good to talk to you again, sir. Thanks for the time. We appreciate that. Let's begin. And you've been tweeting a lot of this stuff as well at Pro Football Doc. Your opinions on what you're watching from the video. Let's begin with De'Aaron Fox. We heard a high ankle sprain. What does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, you're right. We look at video, right? And no one's diagnosing off of video, but it's video from my study of video from football. And quite honestly, I work basketball with the Chicago Bulls and Minnesota Timberwolves as well. So that's why Sports Injury Central, we do all sports. But a high ankle sprain is different than the typical basketball inversion ankle sprain. And it doesn't look as bad. It doesn't swell as much, but it's more painful and more long term. And that's why De'Aaron Fox isn't back yet. But it's very mild, right? Relatively mild in nature. It's a low-grade high ankle sprain, which, you know, is better than it being a high-grade high ankle sprain.
So are you saying that it's easier for a basketball player, maybe, to play on this injury than a football player?
No, I'm saying it's way easier for a football or basketball player to play on a low ankle sprain than a high ankle sprain. It's harder for both sports to play through a high ankle sprain, and that's why Fox is out. It's a different type of ankle sprain.
Well, they need him now because of what happened with Harper, and you tweeted with the video what you expect. This is always interesting with hammies. What do you think is going to happen with Harper now?
Look, by video, I think when he went up in the paint, he injured his hamstring, and then he came down, and everyone's looking at when he came down. But when he exploded up is when he felt the hamstring. Yes, he stayed in for another play or two, because he's trying to be a dog, right? He's trying to stay in. He knows it's the playoffs. But it's hard to force your way through a hamstring. And, you know, it can get worse. It can recur. And that's why I think the medical staff did the right thing by him in saying, no, go back to the locker room. We're not going to try and make this worse than it is.
Okay. So what do you think the short-term diagnosis would be for Dylan Harper? Do you expect him back?
Well, I'm sure they're getting an MRI to see what grade hamstring strain, right? I mean, if it's a grade one, then he has a chance to perhaps play next series. I think this series is going to be tough.
This series?
Really tough.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's look at Luka Doncic. Okay. Yeah. He went to Europe and had these injections and whatever, and it was said to be 4 to 6 weeks, and then it was closer to 8 weeks. His was grade two, but it all depends on the grade. I mean, the hope is it's a hamstring scare. There's no injury to the tissue itself, and then that's the only way it allows him to return this series. If they see any sort of hamstring strain, I mean, the recovery isn't measured in days. It's longer than that to be explosive.
Right. Okay. So how about Williams now? This is the third time this has happened to him.
Well, look, hats off to him that he continues to want to try and play through and come back early. But this is the hazard of coming back early, right? In terms of this is what we were saying earlier this playoffs with Luka Doncic and the Lakers and Austin Reeves. I said, Austin Reeves coming back before Luka. Why? Because the oblique, you play through it, you hurt it again, you can keep going. A hamstring, once you re-aggravate it, you're out for longer. And so that's why they didn't make Luka come back more quickly. But this is where now he's come back, Williams, but now he's re-aggravated it, as you pointed out several times. So that's not a great outlook. You know, look, it's the Indy 500 this weekend. And I always say sports medicine is like driving an Indy car. We all on the straightaway can go pedal to the metal 200 miles an hour. We all can slow down and get through a turn without crashing. The key is to know when the straightaway is ending, where you got to throttle off, or when the turn is ending and the straightaway is coming to speed up to get good recovery. And that's the magic of sports medicine. But, you know, as good as they are in trying to do this, sometimes, you know, this is the hazard of a game too early.
Would you say that it's similar with Harper and Williams, or might Williams be a little bit worse just because of now this is, again, the third time that he's tried to come back from it?
Well, all depends on how much new tissue damage there is, right? Yeah, there's more concern for Williams because it's multiple times. Harper, it's new. It's just a matter of the amount of new damage. If Williams is recurrent, but it's just a little bit of scar tissue, that's better news. If there's new injury on top of old injury, that's bad news. So that's why they need to look at the MRI to determine the next steps.
AJ Mitchell also got dinged up last night for the Thunder, but he was saying all the right things. Like, it's not a big deal after the game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he was a quad contusion, right? A Charlie horse right there. I think he's going to be okay.
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 Excellent. How about to the NFL? Is Mahomes out there Monday night, week one?
Well, look, Patrick Mahomes is amazing. He has played through a high ankle sprain and won a Super Bowl against the Eagles down in Phoenix, I believe. He recovered quickly from his kneecap dislocation. He's, quote, superhuman. It's Mahomes magic, but he still is human. It's an ACL and LCL. I'm glad he can swing a golf club. He swung a golf club and hit a golf ball. That's not NFL football. Look, will he be 100% week one of the NFL season? No possible way. You cannot speed up biology like that. Could he play football week one? Yes, certainly from the pocket with some mobility, but not at 100%. It just doesn't work that way. And will he play week one? The Chiefs don't even know yet. Mahomes doesn't know yet. They don't have to make the decision yet. All I'm saying is you can't say he swung a golf club, they shifted weight onto his left knee, he's good for NFL football. I'd say not so fast. And I'll give you two comps. Number one is Carson Wentz, when he was with the Eagles his rookie year in LA versus the Rams at the Coliseum, tore his ACL, LCL, similar injury to Mahomes. He was not ready week one. They rushed him back week three or four, I think, and he ended up with a back issue based on compensation. I don't see the Chiefs rushing him back because it's Mahomes. He's your guy, and it's Super Bowl. It's not about week one. And I'll make another interesting comment. There was a lot said about his teammate, Rashee Rice, who had, you know, now has to be in jail because he violated probation. He can get rehab in jail, just not the same kind of rehab that you can get on the outside. But he had a knee scope. And what was his knee scope for? For loose chips or residual from what? An LCL injury from September 2024. Patrick Mahomes is a December 2025 injury. It's an LCL. They're not exactly the same. There's LCL plus in both sides, but they're not exactly the same injury. I'm just saying it's not as simple as he swung a golf club and he's fine. Look at Rashee Rice.
Yeah. There's also this, not based on opinion. This is based on numbers. Warren Sharp talked about it with us yesterday. The NFL gave the Chiefs the easiest schedule over the first month of the season, and their bye week is nicely tucked in there at week number five as well to maybe help with the Mahomes recovery. What about on the flip side? I recently saw a photo. Bo Nix shared it on Instagram. His leg did not look great. I have to be completely honest here. What do you think Nix is going to be ready by week one?
Well, I won't embarrass the NFL quarterback, but I had an NFL quarterback that we all know text me and say, "What's going on with Bo Nix's leg?" And I'm like, "Don't take the cheese. That's Alex Smith's leg that was mislabeled and superimposed by."
Oh, it was AI. You know, it was junk. Person. It was a Photoshop job.
The leg wasn't Photoshopped. I posted on it. It's Alex Smith's photo. It was just labeled as Bo Nix and labeled as Bo Nix Instagram to fool people. Kind of thing. Yeah. That was a skin graft and calf and whatever. And so you're not the only one. The text message to me was private, so I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but we had a good laugh over taking the cheese on some of this fake news.
Okay.
Stuff.
Well, regardless, do you think that Bo Nix is going to be ready for week one?
I am optimistic. Look, it's not a nothing that he had a second surgery. However, I'm more optimistic Bo Nix is ready week one than Patrick Mahomes. Look, if it were the Super Bowl week one, Patrick Mahomes would be out there. If you're the Chiefs general manager, if you're the Chiefs head coach, are you worried about Patrick Mahomes week one? Or are you worried about a potential setback, avoiding setback, and having Patrick Mahomes for a bulk of the season later in the season and playoffs, right? It's just about caution and being careful. And I think that's what the Chiefs may do.
Hey, doctor, excellent spot. Great to catch up. Thank you so much for the time. The website is sicscore.com and follow him on X at Pro Football Doc. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And he was on the Progressive Guest Line. Win, lose up next. Betting the first goal scorer of the game is in the same wheelhouse as the first touchdown score, and some of these numbers that pop are gigantic, much like last night. Paulie with the details next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get some best bets in hockey here as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan Davis joins the program now, senior NHL betting expert at VSiN. JD, thanks for the time. Good to talk to you as always. One of the future bets I remember that you gave out on the program, you liked it a lot before the season started, was Carolina to lose specifically in this round. How you feeling about that ticket? Are you going to bet Montreal some way as a hedge?
Yeah, well, I actually bet for the series. I bet both teams to win in six and seven games. And, you know, if Carolina wins in six or seven, then that's, you know, I'll get back like three quarters of a unit. So I do like this as a long series. And that's something that I've done with most of the playoff series is taking both teams to win in six and seven.
This is tough. It's the ultimate rest versus rust. Where do you stand on the team that's been off the longest layoff since 1919 against a team that just went seven games in the first two series?
I mean, I think to what Nathan MacKinnon said after last night's game against Vegas, he goes, guys, I've said it now five times. Our execution was terrible. Mm-hmm. This is the time for Montreal to try to take advantage of Carolina's layoff. And those first 10 minutes for Montreal to try to get a jump on them. I mean, you know, Carolina, you can't simulate, you know, game action being off for 12 days. So Montreal has an opportunity, and we'll see if the execution lacks on their side tonight.
Would you be concerned about Anderson then, from a goaltending perspective, with all that time off?
Yeah, I'd be definitely. I mean, you know, you can only simulate so much mm-hmm. in a practice. So yeah, I would be concerned about Anderson. I'd be concerned about just general, you know, the passing. You know, just guys are going to be off. They're going to be a step off in Montreal. You know, I think one of the things that helped Montreal, as opposed to when they went from Tampa to Buffalo, they had one day off. They get 2 days off here against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that extra day for Montreal is very beneficial.
Well, we've talked about this angle a lot, specifically in the NBA, and it definitely ties into this series as well. Regular season results between these two teams. Montreal won all three games. They scored at least three goals. And all of them, you had a great write-up today on VSiN.com explaining this. Does it mean anything to you at all tonight and for the series?
No, I think what it does is, you know, look, for Montreal, you know, it gives them a barometer of, you know, what to expect from Carolina. But, you know, look, there's no secret with Carolina. They play one way. They try to smother you for 60 minutes. And if you mm-hmm. can, you know, beat their press, their full court press, then you've got a chance. Like Montreal's got to, if they get on the power play, they've got to make Carolina players move and create seams to score goals. I mean, the big three for Montreal guys, 24 of their 30 points, that's Slavkovsky, Caulfield, and Suzuki have come on the power play. These guys need to step up in this series for Montreal. Like, they can't go three rounds not being effective 5-on-5.
That's incredible. And maybe a key to this series, too. As I mentioned earlier, Carolina, 95% penalty kill in the playoffs. So let's look at Dobish saves over. Let's start there, is what you talked about with Carolina with so many shots on goal. 28.5.
I mean, I love it. I mean, look, Carolina, you know what, their last two games, I think against Montreal, they had over 35 shots. They are the highest shot volume team in the NHL. And I think for Carolina, like, that's one thing that I'd be doing if I'm Carolina, especially after the long layoff. Just shoot. Get comfortable. Just keep firing away. So I would expect over 28.5. What was interesting to me is that I saw on one site, you could play the Hurricanes team total shots, but that was like at 36, which seemed rather odd because, you know, that's a six shot differential from the saves. And I don't see Carolina scoring six goals tonight.
I'm looking at the site again right now, VSiN.com, with your best bets. Can you explain this? Looks like a three leg parlay that you have. That's -109 that you bet one unit on.
Yeah. So this is one that I normally save for game sevens of a series mm-hmm. Where I think, you know, you're going to have a very tight game and low scoring. And that's my approach for tonight. So I've got both teams +2.5 goals and under 7.5. I just, you know, look, Carolina has, you know, their games have pretty much all gone under. They've all had, I think, six or less. Montreal, 10 of their 14 games in the playoffs have had six goals or less. So I took, yeah, Montreal +2.5 goals, Carolina +2.5 goals, and under 7.5. And that's where you get the -109. I just don't see either team winning by three tonight. At least that's what I'm banking on.
Well, now that's getting very creative, obviously. My brain is racing right now. I can't imagine there's a book in Las Vegas that would allow anybody to do that. How many books that you're aware of will actually allow a bettor to make that bet?
Well, FanDuel was where I was able to make the bet. That's the one where I've traditionally made that play. Bet Rivers, maybe, but I know FanDuel for sure, they offer that.
Do you want to take a wait-and-see approach as far as shots on goal, or you want to keep riding some guys that have been getting it done for Montreal and Carolina?
Well, I think for shots on goal, the guys, look, I've got a parlay with Logan Stankoven and Seth Jarvis each to get two, and I combine that with Mike Matheson of the Canadiens for two blocked shots, and that gets me a plus money. I'm pretty confident that we can get that Stankoven, who's pretty much, I think he's had at least two in every playoff game, mm-hmm. and Jarvis as well. I'm pretty confident. And Matheson leads the NHL in the playoffs in blocks. Now, guys, I always get concerned about what I call the shots on goal mafia. I'm still waiting for a stat correction on how Nathan MacKinnon, who took a shot at the end of the game right into the breadbasket of Carter Hart, and that didn't count as a shot. So I'm always a little leery.
Sure.
Yeah, always got to be fun to track that kind of stuff for sure. Do you see this series playing out like the Buffalo series for Montreal or closer to the Tampa Bay series where everything was super tight? You had a lot of low-scoring games. The Buffalo series, to me, was like all over the map and you didn't know really what to expect.
I'm expecting tight. Like, I think we're going to get more like the 3-1 game, which was the last game that these two teams played in the regular season. So I look at more low scoring. Now, remember, Montreal, I think you guys talked about it earlier in the show. You know, they've been the classic zigzag team. They're what, 1-6 now after a win, and 6-0 after a loss. They're coming off of a win in game 7 against Buffalo, obviously. So, you know, and then you've got the Carolina situation with 1-12, you know, in their last three conference finals. So one of these streaks has to give tonight. That's why I'm just kind of staying away from the side. Though I do think, like, Montreal at plus 170 does have value, especially with the long layoff for Carolina.
Do you see similarities to the 93 team and the last team from Canada to win the cup? And that was Montreal with a hot goalie and Roy, and also how young the team was.
I mean, similarities in the hot goalie. I just don't recall Montreal's best players, you know, pretty much being quieted outside of the power play. But, the Canadiens and Martin St. Louis have just, they've done a phenomenal job. There's no question. And it would be great. I was in that building in 93, guys, when the Canadiens beat the LA Kings. And I'll still never forget one of the local LA TV vans was burned to the ground. And we were told to wait inside the forum that night.
Wow.
At the end of the game.
Ooh. Jesus. Yeah. Well, okay. So now to the West and what happened last night. How concerned are you, or would you be, for, like, if you had a bunch of Colorado in your pocket tied up in either winning the Western Conference, maybe MacKinnon to win the Conn Smythe, or for this team to win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, my Nathan MacKinnon 7-1 for the Conn Smythe. Yeah, I'm a little worried. Look, if Cale Makar returns in game 2, and we'll see his effectiveness, like, that's the big thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Makar's injury to me is far more significant than Mark Stone, because Cale Makar he changes everything for the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, part of them being out of sync was not having their best defenseman, you know, who's almost like another forward out there on the ice. So if Makar, you know, can't play or is compromised, I mean, we'll see. I think, you know, we talked about it before. No shots on goal in the final game against Minnesota. No points since game 1 against Minnesota. He's definitely dealing with a shoulder injury. So if Makar continues to be compromised, then that levels the playing field. And the Golden Knights are just a professional team. I mean, they're veterans. These guys just don't get fazed by the moment. So yeah, I am concerned. And I also, you know, there's a Bet365. I grabbed Brent Burns to be the first guy to get the cup, and like plus 140 and MacKinnon at 30-1. I'm not feeling as good about either one of those right now.
All right, JD, thank you for the time. We appreciate a great analysis on the website as well. And best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. The Golden Knights are like wood ticks.
Yep.
Like link, like how, where'd they come from?
Tough push again last night too. 2-0 in the third.
Yeah.
You get 4 goals. The football contests at Circa are officially open tomorrow. If you want to play, but won't be in Vegas, Winner's Circle Proxy can help. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks anywhere in the country. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now, winnerscircleproxy.com.
Up next, I'm pretty sure we're going to talk to Tony Rizzo. He was supposed to be on a little bit earlier. Some wires were crossed. He has seen everything in that city, including the collapse the other night. Also, recently had a heart attack. He's going to join the program coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Our next guest, been through everything. He's seen everything.
Damn right.
Legend in the city of Cleveland. He was there for the drive. He saw the fumble in the tunnel for the shot by Michael Jordan. 62 quarterbacks since the Browns came back to Cleveland. The collapse the other night. Recently had a heart attack. Tony Rizzo joins the program here on the Progressive Guest Line. T. Riz, thank God you're alive. Are we sure that you should be back on the air with the Cavaliers still in the playoffs? Is that a good thing?
Reports of my demise greatly exaggerated.
I can tell by the video the other day.
No kidding.
I'm still alive. I just had one little artery that was blocked up. They cleaned it all out, and I'm better than ever. But, guys, let me say this. Like, even for Cleveland, you know, like, we ran a poll on the show. Where does that rank with in one of the worst Cavs losses of all time?
Yeah.
Like, to blow that lead, I could not believe it. Madison Square Garden. With all those Fugazi fans and, you know, the stars and all that crap. You know, I respect Spike. I respect the kids that follow the Knicks. And all. But the guy sitting courtside and all that, you that was the gift from the gods, the sports gods. And it's still hard to swallow, not going to lie.
Did you know you were having a heart attack?
Polly, yes. My chest seized up and I couldn't breathe, but... luckily, you know, Cleveland Clinic we're blessed in Cleveland to have best healthcare in the world. Cleveland Clinic Heart Center is the best. And uh-huh. I did, but I watched the Cavs in game 7 against the Raptors on Monday night. I had a heart attack Sunday night. I watched the Cavs and Raptors Monday night from my hospital bed, game 7, and we won. How great was that? Against my nurse's best wishes. Trust me.
Well, I do trust you.
Yeah, I was joking around at the intro there, but did they say anything about, you might want to ease back into this big fella?
Yeah, they did. And I'm like, sorry, guys, going to have to watch this, you know, and the guards. And I watched the Guardians. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All good.
You have to.
All good.
What was the results of the poll? Because I think it's got to be, like you said, 16. We played it. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, 65% said one of the worst Cavs loss of all time. Now, I was at the shot, and that was a game 5. And, guys, that broke our backs. And Elo played really good D, man, on Michael, but you can't stop Michael. But and that was terrible. The Golden State swept us a couple of times, whatever. We beat them 60. Like, that's one of the worst losses of all time. But it's only a game 1. Not the drive. The drive, the fumble, those were elimination games. Now,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Even the shot was an elimination game. So it's not the same as that, but it was really bad.
Okay. I don't like the comments after the game. And you went after Atkinson.
Yeah.
Take a timeout. What are you doing?
Come on, guys. Come on. It's 101. 101. They go 8-0 run, call a timeout. 12-0 run, call a timeout. Like, it's just not... I don't know what he thought. I don't know whether he's getting data. Today he brought up data that we don't have the data they have. I know they hit some miracle shot. Guys, 30 things had to happen right for the Cavs to lose, but they all did. And it's on the coach. And Kenny's a good dude. He got the Cavs to the conference finals. Something J.B. Bickerstaff couldn't do. Give him credit. But now you're here. You had game 1, and I could argue – you're the reason you're not up 1-0.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Sure.
How about public enemy number 1? How are you feeling about Harden and his issues in the postseason and if he can bounce back?
I feel bad. Guys, when you see James on the court, even off the court, what is going through James's mind? Like, I don't, he is the most aloof player I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Nothing affects him. He has the same stride and the same look on his face no matter what is going on. The numbers are the numbers. I know they're the numbers. What I said today on the air is, Les Harden, get away from him. You were up 22. Put him on the bench. Put Keon Ellis in to play some hard D. Get somebody in there to get some fouls. You know, we'll goon it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Get some fouls. Get Harden on the bench. He played 42 minutes in that game. Come on, fellas.
I know.
He's 36 years old going on 50.
I know. I'm right there with you. And by the way, so this is the beauty of this whole racket again, right? And right now I'm looking at the screen here at Circa. The Knicks are down to a 5-point favorite. So the Cavaliers taking money. That's sharp money here.
I trust, you know, Chris Russo is a friend of mine. Man, dog, he goes, the Cavs are done. But the Cavs are neurotic. They're not like a normal team. They're not like, you know, the Western Conference teams or even the Celtics last year. They forget. You know, Donovan Mitchell said, he goes, yeah, we blew game one. Let's get to game two. I don't know. I think they'll be in this game tonight. I don't know about the number. And I'd have to say the Knicks. Cavs went down 2-0 against the Pistons, and they beat them. Now, I don't know if they could do that against the Knicks. But if they go down 2-0, it's not the end of the world.
Well, but there's also this. The people that think the series is already over with and they have no chance tonight, they'll say the exact opposite if they come out there and win.
Yeah. And if they get the win tonight, it's what they wanted to accomplish all along. And you go home, 1-1, and then the pressure's on the Knicks, guys.
Yep.
There's no pressure on the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell's never been the conference finals. They finally made it. That's one of my gripes, is that they were all like, oh, big exhale. We finally got to where we've never been. Stop. You're trying to win a title. You got another series coming up. The Knicks feel like that. I just wonder if the Cavs do.
I want to bet on Merrill's threes tonight. Are we going to see him out there again and getting plenty of attempts?
Absolutely. Yeah. That kid, you know what? Give him credit. And Strus is the other kid. Plays his ass off the bench. Like, really good players. You guys are going to ask me about Deshaun Watson starting for the Browns?
Well, we were trying to avoid it at all costs, but okay.
You called it. I know you called it. What is he like?
I'm
he's
sorry,
a $1.70
guys.
He's a $1.70 favorite now to start week one.
Oh, yeah. A barring injury. Now, when we get to on the play field, he's going to play in the preseason. So they're going to tackle. Now, it is preseason, but whatever. That's when you really got to see. Guys, against air, I mean, come on. He was throwing passes. There wasn't a guy within 10 yards of him.
Yeah.
You know, throwing these passes. It's a passing camp, for God's sakes. You know, just let's see. And I don't know what Sanders, I don't know where Shador is at right now. They keep saying he's come a long way. Like, how awful was the offense at Colorado if he's come this far to just try and compete?
Right.
Was he that? I was watching the show. Was he that far again? Yeah, was he that much against it coming out of college? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Well, you think it's ridiculous. I was watching that you think Sanders should be the guy. And that they're so.
Well, he won three games with the worst offense in the league last year. And as a rookie with nobody. Judy was terrible. Harold Fannin, a rookie tight end, was his leading wide receiver. I don't know. Guys, I don't know. At this point, if you're a Browns fan, we don't care who wins. If Watson wins 10 games, let's go. Believe me, everybody will be behind.
How about the story that came out today? No doubt. I don't know what time this was released, and you had a chance to talk about it on your show today. You will for sure tomorrow. Deshaun Watson came out and said he holds no ill will towards the Browns. Like, what the hell is that? Yeah. Why would you?
Mitch, $240 million will do that. How ridiculous. Guys, if I was, I would buy Jimmy Haslam a boat. If you know.
Yes, of
Are
course.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Yes. And his agent put out a thing that he would be open to a new contract next year. Guys, I would never say never, but whatever happens, if he starts, plays well, I don't, outside of going to the Super Bowl, like Sam Darnold, I could not see a scenario where Watson is back with the Browns next year.
Yeah. And the only reason he's there is because of that absurd contract.
Uh-huh.
Horrible. Horrible job.
And they're just trying to get a dollar out of $240 million.
Yep.
Why not? They'd have to sign a veteran guy anyway. You got to have one veteran guy. You got Sanders and Gabriel. They're 22 and 23. And you'd have to sign a veteran anyway. You're paying him anyway, so he's the veteran guy on the roster. And listen, Monken has no skin in the game. Monken wasn't here last year. He doesn't know anything. If you look, the 10-year veteran, three-time Pro Bowler who's arguably coming off injury and head space stuff probably looks the best right now.
Well, buddy, Thank God you're okay.
Be safe. Be safe. 80-1 on the money line. Boys. Okay.
Hey, think about this. We're only 2 months out from Tony Rizzo sweating out Ohio Friday night football games.
High school,
on the point spread.
Absolutely.
In high school.
I love that. The doctor and the nurse take it easy. Can't do it.
Sorry. Get the game on right now.
No. Oh, he has to come back and he watches what happened in game one. 80-1 on the money line. Oh, screaming and yelling.
More NBA playoffs. Julian Edlow coming up next. There is a super strong angle on the Spurs after a loss, but how will the Fox and Harper injuries factor in? We'll ask him next.